It is time for the MSO New Sports Baseball Insider, and here he is, Andy Carboni. Andy, welcome.
Nice to be back, Bill. Another week underway in Red Sox land.
Man, it's like the same old story, though, Andy. I know you have some great MLB notes to share with us in just a moment, but first, last night at Fenway, more heartbreak.
It was ugly, I'll tell you that. The Red Sox blew a 4-3 lead in the ninth inning, then gave up 6 runs in the top of the 10th. Matt Barnes charged with the second loss of the season. He allowed 4 of those runs, 3 earned, in just 2/3 of an inning. Ugly way to lose last night. This afternoon, the Sox and Angels wrap up the 3-game series with a matinee on Jersey Street. First pitch at 1:35. Milton's Rich Hill will be on the mound. So with the loss last night, Red Sox fall to 10-15 on the season, 4th place in the AL East. Now a whopping 8 games behind the Yankees, and it's not even the end of the first week of May.
Seeing that 1:35 start for today reminds me of years ago. I think they always used to have 1:30 weekday starts, 2 o'clock weekend starts, but those days are long gone. But whatever, I sparked my memory bank there.
Well, those are good memories to have.
There you go. Yeah, nothing like clock memories. All right, what else do you have for us for Red Sox notes, Andy?
Well, things got so interesting for the Red Sox over the weekend. Actually, I should say so ugly for the pitching staff that on Sunday, catcher Kevin Pilecki caught and pitched in a 9-1 loss to the Orioles. That was another ugly day for the Red Sox. First baseman Travis Shaw, he's been designated for assignment. Sox have brought up first baseman outfielder Franchi Cordero from Worcester. So now Cordero and Dahlback are now platooning at first base.
I think we discussed this last week, Andy, but even though the Red Sox are playing this afternoon during the day, there's still a Nesson Plus game today?
There certainly is, so if you definitely want to see the Red Sox win today, just click on over to Nesson Plus. First pitch at 3 o'clock, so once you get aggravated with the 1:35 live start over at Fenway, just switch on over. It's a game from May 5th, 2005. Red Sox beat the Tigers 2-1 in Detroit. David Ortiz broke a 1-1 tie in the top of the ninth with an RBI double with 2 outs. The good old days.
Yeah, the good old days. Hey, well, at least the weather will be great today, it looks like, huh? That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. That's the one good thing about today we can definitely be assured of.
Okay, right. Andy, Major League Baseball notes, what do you have for us?
Well, last Friday, 5 Mets pitchers combined to no-hit the Phillies at Citi Field, just the second no-hitter in Mets franchise history.
Andy, when I saw that, that struck me. I said, I cannot believe the Mets did not have a no-hitter back with those great hurlers of the late 60s and 70s with Seaver, Kuzman, Gentry, and so on. But it was Johan Santana who actually got their first no-hitter in 2012.
Yeah, it was well into their franchise history, that's for sure. But, yes, definitely some great pitchers in Mets history and always just a bit short on the no-hitter.
I see where
Seaver even lost a perfect game at one point at Shea Stadium.
Yeah, and I saw on one note, no surprise, because the Mets were bad for many years, that they've been no-hit a number of times over the years themselves. Oh, the team has been no-hit, yeah. All right.
Not surprising compared to those early Met days, that's for sure.
Exactly, yeah. All right, Andy, what else do you have for us in MLB notes?
Well, on Tuesday, Astros manager Dusty Baker became the 12th manager in history and the first black manager to record 2,000 wins. The 72-year-old Baker began his managerial career with the Giants back in 1993. He has led 5 different teams the postseason, and I would say with that 2,000 wins that Baker has punched his ticket to Cooperstown.
Other notes, Andy?
Well, Major League Baseball has announced a schedule and the plans for this year's All-Star Game at Dodgers Stadium. The games will be held on Tuesday, July 19th. Fan events will start on the 15th. Dodgers Stadium, LA Live in downtown Los Angeles, and the Santa Monica Pier will be participating in the week of festivities. And the Red Sox, they have already submitted paperwork into Major League Baseball to bring the All-Star Game back to Fenway in the near future.
Are you saying, Andy, that the Dodgers didn't know they were getting the Major League Baseball game, the All-Star game until just now?
Well, no, they knew they were getting the All-Star game. They're just finalizing the actual plans for the week's events, where the events will be held and when they start and that type of thing.
Okay.
Crossing the T's and dotting the I's with the All-Star game festivities.
Yeah, you got to make things very clear to me, Andy. Okay. It didn't make sense. All right, go ahead.
Well, the A's are reaching an all-time record low attendance figure this season. Monday night's game, 2,488 fans, the lowest non-pandemic single-game crowd since 1980. The A's, the only team in Major League Baseball, averaging fewer than 10,000 fans a game at roughly 8,400. Many A's fans staying away after the team raised ticket prices and traded away 4 of their top players in the offseason.
Maybe they have a variant out there in Oakland. Who knows, you know?
Oh, well, this keeps up. The A's aren't going to be in Oakland much longer. They'll be packing up and moving once again.
Yeah, I know Vegas wants them, right?
So, I'm not sure. That's definitely the leader in the clubhouse. So we'll have to see what happens there. Overall, in Major League Baseball for the month of April, offense down, collective average throughout the league, just .231, slugging percentage .369, teams averaging only 4.03 runs a game. So definitely not a lot of excitement in terms of runs being scored in that first month of the season. You can blame that on the shortened spring training, possibly, the cold weather, you know, damp weather in certain locations, and the new baseball that's supposedly out there, not as lively as it has been in the past. So we'll have to see how the month of May, if that spikes up a bit.
Yeah, they're saying they were using old baseballs from last year. Is that sound to start the season? Or I mean, I'm just hearing this stuff.
They were saying there's some old balls from last year. The newer balls are wound tighter, and the seams aren't as high on the balls. So it's all kinds of things. And the core and inside isn't as lively. I mean, they're going with all kinds of different reasons why the offense is down. But maybe it could just be the fact that all these pitchers getting thrown into games with these relief pitchers coming in out of the bullpen every other inning or every inning, throwing almost 100 miles an hour. I mean, that's going to slow down the bats a little bit, that's for sure.
No, exactly. Man, the speeds are incredible now. But, you know, it makes me think maybe I have some baseballs in my garage I could pull out and donate, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely, it'll all work.
All right, what else do you have, Andy?
Well, a bat that Dodgers' Jackie Robinson used in the 1949 All-Star Game sold at auction on Sunday for nearly $1.1 million. That was kind of an exciting piece of memorabilia to see floating around that went up with some pretty good cash on Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's just an All-Star game, but it is Jackie Robinson, so there you go.
Yeah,
absolutely. And to round things up, we'll say that Major League Baseball has finally suspended Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer 324 games. That's two seasons worth of games without pay for violating the league's domestic assault policy. So we won't be seeing Trevor Bauer anytime soon, and most likely once that suspension is up, even though he's appealing it. I don't think any team is going to be touching Mr. Bauer. He'll be, I think, 34 years old at that time. Hadn't pitched for over 2.5 years by the time it's all said and done. So, again, who cares about Trevor Bauer at this point? So we'll have to see what happens down the road.
Yeah, I guess it's like giving somebody a 20-year sentence when they're 90 years old or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely. When it comes in terms of a pitcher.
Yeah, Bill, it's just like that. Okay. All right, Andy. Finally, give me a bright spot on the Red Sox this past week. Any bright spot or not?
Well, I would say a bright spot continues to be the pitching of Garrett Whitlock. He started last night. He came out gangbusters, striking out 5 of the first 6 batters he faced. He's done well in his 2 starts. Obviously, he's not going too deep in games. He's still being stretched out, but that's a bright spot you could look at. Matt Strom, left-handed relief pitchers, had some good outings in some spots for the Sox, even though the bullpen overall has been kind of messy. Ryan Brazier has kind of picked things up over the last week or so, especially when he comes into games with no one on base. He seems to be doing very well when guys are on base and he comes in. He has the old Bob Stanley situation where he allows those inherited base runners to score. But so maybe there are a couple bright spots in the bullpen. The hitting has still been very quiet. This still really hasn't gotten into gear. J.D. Martinez really recently, the one bat that's really kind of heating up a bit, but overall, still very paltry in the lineup. You know, the $140 million man Trevor Story is struggling to stay at batting .200 right now. Devers really hasn't picked things up yet. Kiki Hernandez is struggling. So there aren't a lot of bright spots at a 10-15 team at this point, but we try to find a few of them there for you.
There you go. Not always able to find the silver lining, but there he is today doing it. Thanks, Andy, and we'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it.
Baseball insider Andy Carbone. I'm Bill Newell on MSO NewSports.com.